This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
I tell you, I'm excited about preaching, but I had a little thing this morning. I don't know if I can do it as well. You know how you have those things that just kind of rattle you. I walked in this morning, and June Long wasn't wearing a hat. So I don't know what to do with that. Or sometimes when you all move from seat to seat, I go to look for you in your regular place and you're not there. This is a Baptist church. What are you doing? But you know, life is like that, isn't it? You get sort of in a rut. You get sort of on your way. And the next thing you know, something changes. Sometimes it's a great difficulty. Other times it's a minor annoyance. But life has its way of tripping us up, especially when it gets stormy. Not only that, but when you walk with Christ as a disciple of Jesus Christ, life sometimes, because of that, can tend to be more difficult. Because now, not only are you trying to oftentimes swim against the tide of the culture in the world, but you're also a target for the demonic hosts who want to trip you and I up and hinder us from walking with Christ and following Him. And so, yes, it can be tough. We've been talking about discipleship over the last couple of 3 months, looking at Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 at the Sermon on the Mount. What I have titled the definition of discipleship. Because Jesus, in this three-chapter sermon, was preaching to his followers to tell them exactly what discipleship is. And one last time, because this is the last message in this series, one last time, discipleship is following Christ. It's following. It's also learning, sitting at one's feet and learning. Following and then learning and then suddenly becoming an apprentice in the work. Oftentimes, that's how trades are learned. Somebody who becomes a great plumber apprenticed with somebody who else was a great plumber, or an electrician, or a mechanic, or you name it. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are compelled to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to walk with Him, to follow Him, to learn of Him, and to engage with Him in the work of the ministry. And in this sermon, Jesus has covered all the aspects of discipleship, beginning with the character of the disciple, the influence of the disciple. He talked about the righteousness of the disciple, the faith of a disciple, the humility of a disciple, how a disciple interacts with his or her culture. And he finally ends this sermon with a series of simple choices. Some people say, wow, the Bible's just too hard to understand. And granted, some of it is very complex and deep. But for all those complex and deep passages, there are very simple and clear passages. As a matter of fact, that's one of the keys of interpreting Scripture. Interpreting the difficult parts with the simpler parts. I don't know about you, but I'm a bottom line guy. I like simple choices. My mind gets boggled when I go to Publix and see 83 different types of potato chips. I go to Starbucks and find 53 different ways to have coffee. You know, sometimes you just want a potato chip. Sometimes you just want coffee. And sometimes you want simple binary choices, A and B. I heard a radio commentator lately say he didn't believe in binary choices. So I chose to turn him off. No, not really. But some choices are A and B. Some are complex, but some are A and B. And Jesus, in the last part of this sermon, gives us simple choices based on the material he has taught. Warren Wiersbe kind of says it this way. He encapsulates it all this way. He says, in this last few verses of chapter 7, he says, from picturing two ways, the narrow way and the broad way, two trees, bad tree and good tree, our Lord chose to close his message by picturing two builders and their houses. So we've already talked about the two ways, the broad way and the narrow way, how we choose which way to follow. Last week we talked about false prophets and how to judge them by the fruit that is produced, because there are good trees and bad trees, good fruit and bad fruit. And now Jesus leaves us with the last binary choice, an illustration of builders building houses. Wiersbe goes on to say, two ways illustrate the start of the life of faith. In other words, you can either choose the broad way of religion and human opinion, or you can choose the narrow way of faith in Christ alone. He says the two trees illustrate the growth and results of the life of faith here and now. In other words, even as believers, as we seek to live for Christ, or we fail to do that and live for the world, we will produce some kind of fruit, good fruit or bad fruit. Simple choice. And he says, and the two houses that we're going to look at this morning illustrate the end of this life of faith, when God shall call everything to judgment. So we're going to look at another simple binary choice. And you and I are responsible this morning to make that choice, to choose one or the other. As a matter of fact, you will leave this building this morning having made your choice. All of us will, and we will have to live with the consequences of that choice. Because each one of us is in the process of building a life. From the youngest in the congregation this morning to the very oldest in the congregation this morning, we are building our lives. We choose mates, we get married, we have children, maybe, maybe not. We go out and get jobs, whether blue collar or white collar. We go to school, we choose not to go back to school. We choose neighborhoods in which to live. We choose friends that we hang out with. We choose hobbies. We choose enjoyments and entertainments. From the simplest choice to the grandest choice, we are building our lives. Everybody in this room is building a life some way, somehow, but we're building our lives. And frankly, we're all building lives as structures wherein we live. And so this morning, Jesus is going to close this sermon with a simple choice concerning the structures of life that we're building. Now, we have some people in the congregation this morning who can build stuff. Okay, you're good with carpentry. You know, I can't even build a doghouse, all right? I can build a sandwich, okay? I can build one real well. I can build an opinion. I can build an argument. But I can't build a house. I can't build a doghouse, a chicken house. I just can't do it. I don't have that skill. But I'm building a life. But some of you understand you can build an outbuilding. You can build a house. It's amazing what some of y'all can do. Y'all are extremely talented. And so we need to think of that as we're building our structure that is our life. The thing that we live in and move in. However, that I don't know building, I do know that when you build a building, you have to have a foundation upon which to build it. You have to build it on something. I remember when we were getting ready to build this building that you're sitting in. And I remember when they laid the concrete for the foundation. And I remember we came here, we had to come and break ground a little late because of the frozen, it was winter time, and the ground was too frozen when we had planned to do it. So we had to wait till they actually laid the foundation. And it was kind of cool just seeing the foundation of this current building. And one of the things we did as a church is we took Sharpie markers And then we kind of mapped out the areas where different ministries would be placed when we got the building finished. And the leaders of those different ministries took Sharpie markers and placed on the concrete, wrote on the concrete, their vision for their ministry and a scripture that corresponded with it. As a matter of fact, where I'm sitting right now, under this wooden stage and under this carpet, I wrote, preach the word, be in season, out of season, and then quoted the rest of that verse from Timothy. And I wrote, we will preach the word. That was the foundation. That was an exercise in building this church on the foundation of ministry and message. When was the last time you looked at the foundation of your life as you built the structure? Because you're building your life on something. You're building your life on philosophy. You're building your life on some kind of theology. Believe it or not, even atheists, they don't like to hear this, but even atheists build their life on a type of theology. We build our lives on that. We build them on philosophies. And we get our philosophies sometimes from our education. We get our philosophies from entertainment. I'm amazed at how many people build their life on music and songs that they've heard. We build our life on the philosophy maybe that we get from our parents or our friends or a mentor. But you're building your life as a structure. And yes, believers especially, and on a foundation. So let's talk about the structure of life as Jesus shares with us this last message in his sermon. He says in verse 24 of chapter 7, he says, therefore, he uses that word a lot because it's based on what came before. You know, what did you hear before? And now he's summing up this grand message. He's calling his listeners, primarily his disciples and the people with him, but in a secondary way, us, to do something with what we've heard. And that's the challenge of every Sunday, every Wednesday, every small group meeting, every Sunday school class. You and I come here to learn and then to do something with what we hear. Many unfortunately choose to ignore it. We're going to find out the results of that. But he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's the key. You can hear sermon after sermon, message after message, lesson after lesson. But if you don't do anything with them, what good do they do you? What good are they? James said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's like getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and then walking away and not doing anything about what you saw. I hear giggling. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, I look in the mirror and say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. But y'all did something because y'all look great this morning. Let's do an experiment next Sunday. Just get out of bed and come to church. Put some clothes on, but just get out of bed and come to church. I dare you. No, I'm not going to do it either, okay? But that's sometimes how we deal with the Word of God. We sit here and Aaron preaches or I preach. Mike and the worship team leads us in godly spiritual songs. Your Sunday school teacher works, your ministry leader works and teaches. And we might go out of the church shaking their hands saying, that's a wonderful message. Oh, that blessed me. Oh, you stepped on my toes. That's my favorite. And then we just walk away. We walk away from it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Let's read the rest of this passage. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But, verse 26, everyone who hears these words and these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. So Jesus gives us that understanding of building a life like building a house. Your life is a structure. You build on philosophies. You build on theologies of some kind. You create walls. You create rooms. Rooms where you go in and hide. Rooms that you go into and relax. Your life is the house that you live in. And just like any house, you build it upon something. And Jesus gives us two contrasting foundations. He says, first of all, that the wise builder builds their house on the rock. On the rock. A solid foundation. I grew up in Tampa, Florida. Where I grew up, there was no rich soil. There was no clay like in North Carolina. We have the hard impacted, we called it baseball dirt when I lived in Florida, orange clay. But in Florida, we had sand. And so it was necessary to build your house on a very thick concrete foundation. Otherwise, if you just built on the sand, you'd be having trouble. Even in North Carolina, there are places when that clay gets wet or dry, sometimes you have movement in your house, especially if you're on a built-up wooden frame. So we all understand the trouble we have based on what we build on. Jesus said, look, the wise person builds his house on the rock. What house? Your life. What rock is he talking about? The rock that is his word. The Bible tells us in the Old and New Testament that Jesus is the cornerstone. And we are living stones being built as a temple. The Church of Jesus Christ is strong and has existed for the last 2,000 years, even though it has been persecuted and attacked and vilified. It has stayed strong and stayed standing because the church overall is built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. And so if you're going to build something and you want it to stand, you need to build on a solid foundation. But unfortunately, there are people who maybe their builders don't know what they're doing, or they take the shortcut and they build their foundation on sand, their house on sand. And again, in Tampa, if you built something on sand without a concrete solid foundation, you are in big trouble. You are in big trouble because sand shifts. You know, we had some heavy rains here about a month ago or so. And on my street, the name of the street I live on is Tall Tree Lane. That sounds picturesque and splendid and beautiful until heavy winds. Andy and I, my son, were sitting in our family room. We were talking, all of a sudden we heard the loudest cracking sound. I might have shared this story last week now that I remember. And the tree fell in my neighbor behind me in his front yard. Tree was huge. If it would have hit his cars, it would have destroyed them. If it would have hit his house, it would have destroyed them. You know what happened with that tree? The rain was so heavy, it seeped under the roots and made the sand and the clay soft and undermined this gigantic tree. See, when storms come, sand shifts. And when sand shifts, the structures fail. So here's the thing. Are you building your life as you build it? And I'm talking right now especially to believers. But as you build the structure of your life, can you honestly say that you're building it on the rock that is the Word of God? So how do you do that, Pastor? Well, it starts off with your decision process. When you make decisions for your life, for your children, are you making them based upon the truths and specifics of God's Word? Or are you following the culture? And sadly, the culture has had a horrendous impact on the church. And in reality, it always has. Spurgeon, the great preacher, likened the church to a grand ship sailing in the waters And the ship is fine until the waters begin to leak into the boat. And the boat begins to sink. We're the ship of God sailing in the waters of culture. And we're fine until culture begins to seep into the church. Cultural philosophies, cultural ideas. Doing something because it's popular. Doing something because that person in school said it was good. Maybe it is good. But oftentimes we build our houses on sandy, muddy philosophies. We build our lives on fluctuating and flowing ideas. Culture changes. I've been around the sun a few times. I grew up through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Things changed. You ever look back pictures in the 60s and 70s? Oh, I love it on Facebook. People my age, oh, look at this. Weren't we cool? No, we dressed ugly back in those days. I look back on stuff I wore back then, and I'm embarrassed. Fashion's changed. Oh, the music was so good. It was all right. Oh, this was this way, and that was that way. Oh, the good old days. There were no such thing as good old days, just like there aren't bad old days today. Everybody thinks, oh, the world was a mess. Guess what? In the 60s, the world was a mess. In the 40s, the world was a mess. In Jesus' day, the world was a mess. Cultures change. It's shifting sand. Your opinion is shifting sand. You think one way one minute, and if enough people tell you different, you'll change your opinion. I heard a comedian say one time, you will believe something if you hear it three times. And I thought, really? But then he made the illustration, and I thought, you know, that's not too far off. Why do you think advertisers do what they do? But if you go on Facebook and somebody says, if you fall asleep at night, spiders can crawl in your ears and eat your brain. Your first thought is, oh, that's nuts. And then you're at work 3 days later and somebody said, you know, I read an article from the AMA that if you sleep at night, you're not careful, spiders can crawl in your ear and eat your brains. Oh, where did I hear that? And then you're later on at home having a dinner and your in-laws are in town. And your mother-in-law looks at you and says, have you been sleeping all right? Because did you know that, you know, I heard somebody say that somebody said, if you sleep, spiders will come into your ears and eat your brains. And you've heard it three times and you're thinking, man, I need some cotton. Because that's the way we are. But are you building your life on that sinking, shifting sand? Public opinion, cultural opinion, what's popular? Or are you building on the tried and true and eternally solid rock that is Jesus Christ and His Word? God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. The Bible says the Word of God is everlasting. The Word of God will not be taken away. The promises of God will never be denied. The truths of God are just that, truths. So I ask you, my brother and sister in Christ, we've gone through this entire Sermon on the Mount. And you've heard, many of you have been through the whole thing with us. Could you honestly say that you're building your life on those truisms and truths? Because you are building a life. Notice there were two houses in this illustration. And did you notice the stories sound very similar? In other words, Jesus says, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And then he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Now look, we see some things going on. And by the way, these are similar for a reason. Because as you look at life, you see people building their lives. You're in a neighborhood, for instance. And there are families like yours through the neighborhood. They have a house kind of like yours. They have kids, maybe not, but they're going to school like yours. They're doing their yard either like yours or you're doing it like theirs. You know how that works. Got to keep up with the Joneses. Maybe you are the Joneses. Who do you keep up with? But anyway. We all are building lives. The atheist is building his or her life. The Muslim is building his or her life. The Buddhist is building his or her life, and the Christian is building their lives. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, again said this. He said, "The wise and the foolish man were both engaged in precisely the same avocations, the same work. They were building their lives. And to a considerable extent, they achieved the same design." In other words, the basics: a home, a family, an occupation. You know, we're all just building our lives, and basically it's the same. Both of them undertook to build houses. Both of them persevered in building. Both of them finished their houses. The likeness between them is very considerable. If you're looking just at the outset, everybody's doing their thing. Unless you talk to one another or engage with one another, you wouldn't think they were any different from you overall. And they're not. It's just like when you go through the neighborhood and you see houses, a lot of them are similar. But what you don't see is the foundation. Why? Because it's under the ground. And so, like we mentioned earlier, as you build your life, just like as you built or bought your house that was built, sometimes life brings storms, like the storm I just mentioned earlier. You know, many of you remember Hugo when he came through. That was just a year or two before I got here. But I've heard story after story of the havoc that Hugo brought. I understand that a little bit because growing up in Tampa, we were threatened by hurricanes all the time. As a matter of fact, this tropical storm Deborah came through and really caused havoc for my family down there, which is one of the reasons why my brother and sister contacted me. They're selling their home in Tampa, and they're moving up here to Concord. How cool is that? But the place was just flooded. Roads disappeared. It happens here, but man, when that happened in Tampa, the storms will come. Hugo, a hurricane came through here. We've had ice storms. One night we had an ice storm so bad, again, I live in Harrisburg and Tall Tree Lane, timber forest. Okay, that, you know, I used to think that was cool until these things began to happen. I'd rather live on Shrubbery Avenue, okay? But I remember laying in bed one night after an ice storm, and I remember hearing creaking out in the woods behind my house, because the heavy ice on the trees would bring down those big trees. You'd hear the creaking and the cracking, and then you hear the smash. You lay awake at night as thinking, how close is that tree to my house? Storms come. And not just meteorological storms. Storms financially hit us. Losing a job. Getting hit with large bills or financial crises. Those are storms. How about relationship issues in a family? A broken home. The storms of life. An illness. Let me tell you, those come up on you suddenly. Many of y'all know I've just gone through cancer ordeal, got a little bit more to go. I went for a regular checkup in May. I didn't know anything was wrong. I had cancer 4 years ago, but I thought I was done. I felt good. I was just going for a checkup. I was going for a scan, regular stuff. Go get it, go home, get on with it. And I'll never forget the call I got in the mid-afternoon on the first or second week of May. Mr. Farley, we have found cancer on your liver. That was out of the blue. I had just finished school. I was excited about some things coming up and being still a part in the pastor of West Concord Baptist Church. I was looking forward to some things, and that storm blew in. Many of y'all have experienced the same thing. Storms of losing your job. Storms of car accidents. We just reported a tragic one just yesterday. Continue to pray for Kim Johnson and her family. Life does that, and it happens at a moment's notice. The storms of life come. Look what Jesus said. Notice this way he says it. The one who built his house on the rock, verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. The one with the rock foundation. But look down at verse 26, or rather 27. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Exactly similar. The words were exactly the same. Because here's the thing. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, life is going to send storms. Listen, just because you know Jesus as your Savior doesn't mean you're going to be exempt from the crises and the storms of life. It doesn't happen that way. The reason why is we live in a fallen, broken world. And oftentimes we experience, not often, most, we experience the same sort of dilemma, crises that the world experiences. Atheists get cancer, atheists get COVID, so do Christians. Buddhists lose loved ones, so do Christians. Jewish people lose their jobs, so do Christians. The storms of life, just like the buildings look the same, the structures look the same, the storms look the same. Don't think because you're a believer that somehow you should be exempt from that. You know, we talk about the rapture, the catching away of the saints before the tribulation. And I do believe that. I believe that's biblically the way things are going to go. But that doesn't mean God is going to take us out before anybody receives any tribulation. Listen, you've got brothers and sisters all over this world that are being persecuted, imprisoned, and murdered for their faith. They're already in the midst of a tribulation. Don't think just because God's going to one day rapture out the church that you're somehow better than everybody else and you're going to escape it. It's not how it works. So those storms in life, they will come. Dr. Adrian Rogers of Bellevue Baptist Church in Tennessee used to say that either you're in a storm is coming, or you just come through one. But the storms are coming. And they're the same storms that happened to the unbelievers, happened to the believer. Notice both houses were built. They looked similar. You couldn't tell a difference because you couldn't see the foundation. And the storms were similar, same storms, but different outcomes. Again, the storms hit the house built on the rock. Look at this, it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. It weathered the storm. It didn't mean the storms didn't hit it, didn't beat on it, didn't cause anguish and trouble, but the house stood strong. Not so with the house built on the sand. The rains came, descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And then Jesus added for more emphasis, and great was its fall. See, these storms that we endure in life come for various reasons. God allows them for various reasons. Sometimes God is trying to get our attention. Sometimes God is dealing with us. Sometimes God is testing our faith. Sometimes storms come because of where we live in the world and how we are. But whether we get through the storm and whether we weather the storm depends upon what we built our foundation on. And these storms are only precursors or previews of the ultimate judgment that is to come. See, my brother and sister in Christ, you and I who are believers, we also will face judgment, ultimately. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be held accountable for how we lived our life, how we built our structure. Whether we built it on the rock that is God's word, or whether we built it on the sand that is cultural and public opinion or our own personal preference. Again, this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. He's given us the blueprint for discipleship. He's giving us the things that we need to know, follow, and do in order to survive and weather these storms. And it's the same, again, same structures to some extent, building a life, house, kids, career, retirement, all those things. By the way, it's not very different in other countries either at the basic level. Different cultures, the basic thing. You want a place to live, you want a family, you want income, you want to eat. But what about the foundation? One house built on the rock endured the storms of life and will endure the judgment of Christ. But those houses built on that sandy foundation, whether they're believers who will be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ, or unbelievers who one day that foundation of their building is just going to fall away completely and they'll spend eternity without Christ. That is the binary choice that you have today. Two ways, two trees, two foundations, two structures. So again, what are you building your life on? The structures, the lives that we build, the foundations we build upon. The storms of life, they're the same storms that everybody gets, but there are different outcomes. Some lives are able to stand, some lives will fall. Proverbs 10:25, perhaps Jesus had this on his mind when he was preaching this. I don't know why not. He wrote both, because Jesus is God in the flesh and God is the author of the word. Proverbs 10:25 says, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. What a promise. What a promise. Oftentimes people, because when they hear I'm a preacher and then I preach, they say, well, who do you think you are telling other people how to live? Maybe you've had somebody tell you that as you've tried to encourage them to walk with the Lord. Well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm nobody. I'm not any better or worse than you are. But I know the one that we need to build our foundation upon. And again, you're gonna make your decision, every one of you. You know, many years ago in many churches, you'd have altar calls. And we do that occasionally. But not as much anymore, because I'd look at it this way. You're going to make your decision sitting right where you are. I don't need to have an emotional appeal. You've been given the word. You get the word every Sunday from myself, from Aaron, your teachers. You have to decide how you're going to build your life and what upon you're going to build it. And you need to do an inventory this morning. You need to go home after this afternoon and say, what am I building my life on? And then make that decision. Because ultimately, Jesus is the sovereign of life. Who do we think we are? We're nobody, but Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the creator. He is the one who brought us this. Look at what the people, how they heard him. How they received him, rather. Verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished. Literally in the Greek, it means dumbfounded. They were astonished at his teaching. How often it just flies over our heads, but the people hearing it from his lips to their ears, they were blown away. When was the last time you were just blown away by the Word of God? When was the last time you sat and let the Word of God so seep into your heart and mind that you just had a Holy Ghost fit right there? They were astonished by it. Why? Because of his authority. He says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Who were the scribes? The scribes were a group of religious leaders who literally were the copy machines of their day. They literally copied the Old Testament by hand. They didn't have printers or fax machines or anything like that back then, of course. So naturally, they knew the scripture. Just like if you were to go home and copy the Encyclopedia Britannica word for word, chances are you'd know everything from aardvark to zebra. But big deal, right? They knew all the truth. They knew all the stuff. But Jesus wrote it. God penned it. He was the author of it. And so, yes, he had authority. And they realized that and recognized that. He is the sovereign of life. He is the one who's able to call the shots and give the rules. And they were astonished at his authority. So here's the final word. not just on this message today, but as Jesus ties up the entire Sermon on the Mount with his teaching and his authority, with his binary simple choices, choose A or B. If you don't know Christ as Savior, choose the narrow way, which is faith in Jesus alone for salvation, instead of following after the opinions and the religions of the world. As you live for Christ, live in such a way that you're producing good fruit because you're trying to be a good tree. And stay away from the bad trees, the false teachers and prophets. Because one day, even though the storms of life test, one day the storm of judgment is coming. The question is, will your structure, your life stand or fall? And it all depends on what you do today. Who am I to tell you what to do? I'm nobody, but what about God? Who better? The last word, who better to tell us how to fashion our lives than the author of life himself? And at the end of the day, the end of today, it's up to you. Will you build your house on the rock, your life on the rock, the truth of God's word? Or will you build it on the shifting sand? That is the choice. It's not hard. You make it. Standing together as we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. So that we might focus on the word. Despite the inadequacies and the stammering of the human deliverer today, we need to focus on the truth. And again, today is not a difficult, complex choice. There's no gray area here. There's no place to fudge or to wiggle. It's a binary choice, A or B. Are you going to build your life on the rock that is the truth of Christ, the truth of his word? Or are you going to build it on the shifting sand of public opinion, cultural opinion, political opinion? My word, we're a nation in trouble today. We're following people instead of truth. It's a little wonder we're shifting and struggling. And the church, I'll tell you this, I'll be honest with you, you can get mad at me if you want. The church is to blame for a lot of that because we've obfuscated the truth. We don't want to offend people, so we won't tell the truth. There are ways to tell the truth without being offensive. But there are times when truth will offend, regardless of being gracious or not. But the question again is, church, what are you doing? What are you going to do with this sermon from Matthew 5, 6, and 7? What are you going to do with the scriptures? As you're raising your children, if you have them, are you raising them based on the truth of God's word? How about as you make decisions in life? Friendships, finances. All of your choices should be rooted and grounded in what does the Bible say. You can go to the book of Proverbs. You can go to the Psalms. You can go all over Scripture and get encouragements. Get truth. Yeah, it takes effort. But this is something, and you know, again, it goes back to what do you want your life to be? If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that first choice, the narrow way or the broad way, the narrow way, reason why it's narrow is because salvation comes only through faith in Christ. Peter in Acts chapter 4 tells us that neither is there salvation in any other than Jesus. For by no other name under heaven can we be saved but Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So if you've never placed your full faith and confidence in Jesus as your Savior, I beg you to trust in him today. And that's the beginning. And then you begin to build your life on his truth and walk with him as his disciple. And when the storms of life come, and bless God, they will come, sometimes they're brutal, and it will be hard, but at the end of the day, you will be standing. And then finally, when that time of judgment comes and God brings your life into an account, you will be standing. But I pity the person who chooses to build his or her life on the sand. Because I realize in my life, when I tend to shift toward the sand shifts on me. So I ask you, if you're deciding to trust Christ, you would do so today. If you're my brother and sister in Christ, let's you and I decide to walk with him and to build our lives on the rock. Father, Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege of being in this place. We said it earlier in a prayer that this was an island of worship. That, Father, here we're in a place where most of us agree with one another. We support one another. We love one another. We are right now exposed to your word through song and sermon. But now, Father, we're going to scatter. We're going to hear other voices. We're going to get other challenges. We're going to be influenced. Sometimes there's attempts to manipulate us. And Father, there's a demonic host who seeks to put us down. Father, may we stand on Christ. May we stand on the rock of his truth and your word. And may you bless this family and may you bless this community. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.